This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So the big question, of course, is whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was actually making money as a financial guy, or if he was just making money as a, you know, guy who was bribing people to keep quiet. That seems to be what the case was here. Let's share a couple things with you. Number one, everybody's still questioning what happened with Epstein, and they're still wondering exactly how it was that he was able to be put in a position to kill himself. All right, that's what they're still wondering today. And so, as you look at the dynamics of that, there are a couple things here. Number one, first of all, Epstein had called criminalizing sex with teen girls a cultural aberration. Some people have called him a pedophile. There's pedophilia where you go after kids who are infants and little toddlers and things like that, which is just pure evil, sickness, ridiculous, God. And then there's these guys who think that teenagers who are physically more developed, obviously, they're not legally developed, that it's their right to have them, like a rite of passage. This is the world that Jeffrey Epstein played in. He wasn't going after, thank God, you know, three-year-olds and four-year-olds. He was going after 16-year-olds, maybe. You know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that there's a different mindset here. It's not about the notion of, for a lot of these people, it's more of, we used to be able to have this and now we can't anymore. We used to be able to have these young women when they were so fresh and young, and now we can't. The law doesn't allow us, but we can do anything we want anyway. We can do what we want regardless. That's the thinking of the mindset. Just to, again, I'm not in no way justifying it. I'm just simply telling you how that kind of cult works. And Epstein, who has previously, by the way, said that criminalizing sex with teen girls is a cultural aberration. He was unapologetic, and he also compared it to homosexuality, saying that there was a time when homosexuality was illegal, and this will one day be legal as well. And he said there are times in history it was perfectly acceptable to marry a 13-year-old or 14-year-old girl and have children with her and that sort of thing. He said criminalizing sex with teenage girls was a cultural aberration. Times in history was perfectly acceptable. He pointed out that homosexuality had long been considered a crime, was still punishable by death in some parts of the world. This New York Times writer who spent some time with him was greeted when he came to Epstein's house by a young girl with blonde hair and had an Eastern European accent. And he wrote, "I can't say how old she was, but my guess would be late teens or perhaps 20. And he said, given Mr. Epstein's past, this struck me as far too close to the line. The New York Times writer had written a piece, and he said that he was asked to come to Jeffrey Epstein's house to talk about Tesla. But while he was there, Epstein said he had dirt on very powerful people. James B. Stewart is a New York Times writer. And a couple of things struck out for me in his piece. He said that Elon Musk basically, Epstein said, Elon Musk, who's the guy who runs Tesla, had said to him he wanted his help with dealing with some PR issues that Tesla was dealing with. And it really turns out that Epstein was not really doing anything to help Elon Musk. He was just using that as cover to justify the fact that he had something to do all day. But it was the conclusion of the New York Times reporter, nah, he really wasn't doing much for Tesla. And so what struck him was this. He said behind him was a table covered with many photographs. There was one of Mr. Epstein with former President Bill Clinton, another of him with director Woody Allen, who also, of course, got into trouble with his own underage proclivities. Displaying photos of celebrities who have been caught up in sex scandals of their own also struck me as odd. And he says, if Epstein was reticent about discussing Tesla, he was more at ease discussing his interest in young women. Then he moved into a discussion of other prominent names in technology circles. He said people in Silicon Valley have this reputation for being geeky workaholics, but that was far from the truth. He says they're hedonistic and regular users of recreational drugs. He said he witnessed prominent tech figures taking drugs and arranging for sex. Mr. Epstein stressed that he never drank or used drugs of any kind. The New York Times writer, James Stewart, he kept trying to steer the conversation back to Tesla, but Mr. Epstein remained evasive. He said he'd spoken with the Saudis about possibly investing in Tesla, but he wouldn't provide any specifics or names. He said, when I pressed him on the purported email from Elon Musk, he said the email wasn't from Musk himself, but from someone very close to him. He wouldn't say who that person was. I asked him if that person would talk to me, and he said he'd ask. He later said the person declined. When I later reflected on our interview, I was struck by how little information Mr. Epstein had actually provided. While I can't say anything he said was an explicit lie, much of what he said was vague or speculative and couldn't be proven or disproved. He did have at least some ties to Mr. Musk. A widely circulated photo shows Elon Musk with Ghislaine Maxwell, Mr. Epstein's confidant and former companion, at a 2014 Vanity Fair Oscars party. But, of course, that was also some people wondered if whether or not that he just kind of inserted himself into the photo. It doesn't mean that they were actually hanging out together. The point is, there are a lot of people questioning whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was actually this prominent hedge fund guy. His net worth was only $500 million. This is not a lot. To be in that world of islands and planes and jet setting and everything else, it's not a lot of money. It's a lot of money, obviously, to us, but not a lot of money in that world. And that's why a lot of people are wondering this. The Intelligencer did a piece on this back in July. Real hedge fund managers have some thoughts about what Epstein was actually doing. And there he writes, long before Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty to prostitution charges in Florida more than a decade ago, his fellow Palm Beach resident and hedge fund manager Douglas Cass was intrigued by the local gossip about his neighbor. He says, I'm hearing about the parties, hearing about a guy who's throwing money around. Cass, who's actually a real hedge fund guy, president of Seabreeze Partners Management. Stories about young girls swarming Epstein's waterfront mansion and the sex parties he hosted for the rich and powerful were the talk of the town. But the hedge fund guy, he was more focused on how this obscure person, rumored to be managing billions of dollars, had become so wealthy without any track record. So the hedge fund guy is well connected on Wall Street, obviously. He had worked there for decades, managing this big fund. Starts to ask around. Said, I went to my institutional brokers, to their trading desk, and I asked them if they ever traded with Epstein. I did it a few times until the date when he was arrested. No, not one institutional trading desk, primary or secondary, had ever traded with Epstein's firm. When a reporter came to interview the hedge fund guy, his neighbor, about Bernie Madoff shortly before that firm blew up in the biggest Ponzi scheme ever, he told her, quote, there's another guy who reminds me of Madoff that no one trades with. That man is Jeffrey Epstein. How did he get the money? That's the question that his neighbor, the hedge fund guy, kept asking over and over again. How did he get the money? Because for decades, Epstein had been described as a big time hedge fund manager and a billionaire, even though there's no evidence for either. There appears little chance the public's ever going to get any answers, obviously, now. But the one thing is this, though. The one thing that seemed constant was that there was money always flowing in. And now the question becomes, if it wasn't then money for people to manage their accounts, was it hush money? Was it money from people who might be on video with an underage girl, for example? Because it turns out, the Southern District of New York found something, a huge cache. It has not been really widely reported, but the Southern District of New York found something in Jeffrey Epstein's apartment. All this ties in together with the theory that I think is quickly emerging, which is there are a lot of people that wanted this guy dead. A lot of people. And I don't mean just Bill Clinton and the Clinton rumors. I mean, there are a lot of very powerful, prominent people that might have been bribing him to keep quiet. And are they on some of the things the Southern District of New York, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, the SDNY, found in Epstein's apartment? I'll tell you about that straight ahead.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.